And we are joined once again on The Scoop today by Daniel House of GopherHole.com and also 1500 ESPN. Talking some Gophers here today. We got a little Gopher football news to get to, but we'll talk some Gopher basketball as well. Daniel, as always, glad to have you on the show today.
Already football talk, and it's like literally 2 weeks into the offseason for Gopher football, but that's college athletics, I think.
Yeah, football, whether it be the NFL or college football, they're just relentless in terms of the news cycle, and this is no different because as we see with coaches that are well thought of throughout the nation or are successful, there ends up being a lot of assistant coach turnover, and PJ Fleck now dealing with that with the Gophers. But one big part of the success from this past season is going to stay, as it sounds like Kirk Soraka is going to stay put after toying with the notion of heading out to the East Coast. What did you hear as to how this whole process played out, and what does it say about PJ Fleck and Kirk Soraka that he elected to stay as opposed to a new opportunity out east?
Well, I think Soraka just views this team as something that's up on the rise. He developed a lot of young freshmen this year with like 8 contributors on that side of the ball being underclassmen in significant capacities this year. He wants to build upon that success, and him and PJ Fleck have a long history dating back to starting in really 2013 at Western Michigan. Those two have kind of developed a system and a way to do things, and his offense has been something that's really successful. A lot of lethal passing attacks, the ability to really have an underrated inside zone blocking game, and not only that, but they've kind of developed a way to control the football, and that's credit to Shiraka's ability to place players in favorable situations to be successful. And that's even trickier to do with young, talented players that you've got to kind of get in some in-game action. So you look at how he's built the team and kind of developed them. It's encouraging to have that back again. And as they're continuing to look for more improved quarterback play, you know, kind of raising the bar at the position, Shiraka's that guy. He has a track record of developing quarterbacks and making rosters just better over time. So huge to be able to keep him. He could have went to his friend Neil Brown out at West Virginia, but again, he was loyal to PJ Fleck and what they're kind of doing here, which says a lot about how he views the future and what he wants to do with Minnesota.
Daniel, with a little bit of a question as to exactly which way the Gophers go at quarterback this upcoming season. I mean, they've got Zach Anikstead, but he was hurt the last few games of the year. They've got a couple of kids coming in. Was that also important to just try to keep some of that continuity, considering that they may be making a few changes at the quarterback position too?
Well, anytime you have continuity, it's nice to keep it. The example's the Vikings. I mean, Pat Shermer leaves, and then you bring in a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback, and you're kind of trying to relearn how to do things, how they like to do it, how they study film, how they prepare. Being able to keep that consistency, that stability, PJ Fleck talks a lot about that. Having the coaches in there that kind of do the same routine every single week, the same kind of mentality, you're kind of building that sustainability that you need in a program. And any time that you can keep a guy that has worked with these players, and you've got young guys at almost every position group, specifically, yeah, like you talked about, a quarterback, you've got Tanner Morgan, who's a redshirt freshman last year, and true freshman walk-on Zach Anikstead. Like, there is a lot of talent at that position that you can kind of continue to groom, and that's something that had to be attractive to Kirk Soraka when he came in to Minnesota, and he wants to continue building upon that.
Let's pivot to Gopher men's basketball. Unfortunately for the Gophers, they came up short in their game against Maryland. The final score was, I believe, 82-67. Gophers had the lead throughout most of this game, but then Maryland battled their way back, and it just seems like the Gophers went ice cold in the second half. What was your reaction to what we saw between those two teams?
Well, with Maryland, they have a nice roster. That's a really good basketball team. I like their length, their size, their quickness overall with that roster. It was not a good matchup. Anthony Cohen just kind of started to catch fire. You look at kind of what he did in the second half. You've got you know, 23 points from him. He was hitting a lot of shots, just that quick release. He's a really, really talented shooter. So you kind of look at what Maryland did to the Gophers. It was a lot of that length, that athleticism. They didn't match up well with it. Jordan Murphy got into foul trouble, and they had a lot of it going on. There's three guys with three fouls early in that second half, and that's something they got to definitely clean up. Sometimes it's just hard to control when a team starts shooting the ball like Maryland did, 70% in the second half. And then how about shooting free throws? I mean, 9 for 23 from the free throw line, 39%. I don't think I've seen a team shoot free throws like that in all the time I've been watching basketball, at least for a really long time. And so there's a lot of variables there, but it starts with that free throw shooting. Got to get better there.
Have Big Ten teams started to kind of figure out the book on this Gopher team in that they don't really have a whole lot of perimeter shooting, so they kind of force the Gophers to work it inside. Are we starting to see that become a little bit of a repeatable plan of attack for Big Ten teams?
Well, here's how I kind of view it. When Maryland went into that zone defense in the second half of that game, everything kind of changed. The tone, just the way that the Gophers were approaching their offensive sets. You look at how the Gophers are kind of structured, they're kind of a run-and-gun team. They like to push the tempo. They're really good in transition attacking off the dribble when they can push the basketball and get on the run. And what kind of happened was Maryland goes into that zone, and you can't even hit rhythmic shots. They're really a rhythmic team. You know, you get on the run, hit a trailing three, and put it up, it's good, you know. Where now it's like with that zone, you're in a stagnant set. You've got to pass the basketball and not really hit maybe in rhythm as much. And the Gophers have struggled with zone defenses throughout this year. And it feels like for the past like 20 years, the Gophers have just struggled playing against zone defenses. So that's something they're going to have to figure out because more teams are going to do it. You look at what Rutgers did to Ohio State. That's the next matchup on the horizon. They played a little bit of that zone occasionally throughout the year and in that game, and that's something I expect them to do. That's going to be an interesting matchup because they've got the same kind of length and athleticism and a really young backcourt.
Let's talk a little Gopher women's basketball as well. As it seems like after a red hot start for the Gopher women, they've run into a little bit of a struggle as of late. They're now 12-3 on the season after losing their third consecutive game to Michigan State, 86-68. A little bit of a buzzsaw here over the past couple of games. What's been going wrong for the Gopher women over these past three?
Well, I was able to catch the game last night against Michigan State, and a lot of that was a result of turnovers, really not maximizing possessions. It gave Michigan State a lot of opportunities on the run, a lot of just not really just taking care of the basketball. That's where it starts, and they got beat on the glass a little bit. They were getting some offensive opportunities, second chance looks, and that's going to kill you every time you play against quality opponents like Michigan State, who ranked in the top 25. The Gophers have really kind of struggled to kind of rebound the ball consistently and take care of the basketball, and those are two really important keys that you have to have when you move into Big Ten play. So they're going to have to continue to figure that out. I mean, it was last night, Michigan State had control of that game from the get-go. I mean, it's kind of been that way the last couple of games, too. So just kind of trying to find a way to reset and try to work through this rut. Every team faces this, so it kind of started strong. Now they're in that rut, and they got to kind of try to dig out of that in the next couple of weeks here.
Well, and this is exactly what Lindsey Whalen was brought in for as coach, was to be able to handle this sort of adversity. In Lindsey's demeanor, and I don't know how much of this you've been able to observe at all, but has she been more of a kind of stoic presence, or does she like to kind of get loud and energetic out there out on the court?
She's not real loud and animated. I mean, she's really, really personal coach, I would say, you know, like pulling a player aside and giving them, you know, the details and the instruction that they need to improve. I mean, she will definitely become, you know, passionate about things during the game and get fired up, but she's, in a way she delivers her coaching, it's not as, you know, it's not full of yelling or anything like that. It's more like, okay, you know, we're going to help this person figure this out and going to do so in a kind of a one-on-one matter, and she really is relaxed and calm, and I think that's something that translates over to the players a little bit, because they kind of know that Lindsay is going to find a way to try to help it out, not try to kind of push the limits. You see that with the Timberwolves, kind of a total flip in the way that they approach things with, you know, Ryan Saunders and Tibbs. You got to have a coach that kind of has that demeanor, but will get fired up when they need to and kind of get the most out of their players. And she's definitely that kind of a style.
Big one coming up for the Gopher women against number 17 ranked Iowa. Do you like the Gophers' chances to get back on track on Monday?
Well, I have to see. Iowa's really a talented basketball team in the women's side. They really have played well. They've got a lot of returning players from what I've heard and looked at so far. So, I mean, that's going to be another challenging matchup. They're going to have to continue to try to limit the amount of mistakes they make with turnovers. That's really the key. If they limit the turnovers they have, they're going to be in a lot of basketball games. You can't waste possessions. It's all about efficiency. So that's just where it's all got to start.
Daniel, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us to talk a little Gopher sports here today. Hopefully the Gopher men and women can get back on track here, and we'll break everything down with you again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me on.